Let's pray.
Father God, we thank you, Lord, again so much for bringing us here this morning. We praise you, Lord, that back in that day, after your Son ascended back to his heavenly realm, that, Father, you would see fit to allow the Comforter to come, to send us the Comforter. And now we know, Lord, that for those that put their faith and their hope and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord, the Comforter has come. The Holy Spirit takes up residence in them, lives, abides, dwells in them, in us. And Lord, does so many wonderful, incredible things in our lives. Saves us, justifies us, changes us, sanctifies us, molds us, makes us more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. And yes, Lord, comforts us and helps us and guides and directs us. It is your word that is inspired by the Holy Spirit. So Lord, thank you and praise you. And Lord, we do pray. We pray for friends and family members, Lord, people that we know in and around town that need to still know the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they might hear it and might even hear it off our lips. And Lord, that they would repent and believe, that they would receive the Comforter, that they would receive the Holy Spirit. And Lord, now as we come to this time in our service where we want to just praise you and glorify you through your word, Lord, help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts that would understand and take in your truth, and Lord, how we might apply that truth to our lives. Father, again, we pray for just the things that are going on in cities across this nation, and again for that violence to decrease, that violence to end, and that, Father, you will bless all of our law enforcement, our armed forces, our National Guard, Lord, that are seeking to help and, of course, curb this violence. Be with them, protect them, care for them. And Lord, that there might just be a willingness on people's parts to follow and obey authorities right now, and Lord, that life would be preserved, that property would be preserved. Lord, we pray these things in your Son's name. Lord, at the same time too, we look at some of the glorious things that also come about when we as a country work together on things. Even something as, well, it's not really simple. I was going to say as simple as two men going into outer space. It's really not that simple, Father. And yet, what a glorious show of unity joining up with the International Space Station and all that, Lord, that has been about. And so we thank you and praise you for that. That, Lord, there's always good. There's always good to be seen in the world. And we pray, Lord, that certainly those good things that certainly bring glory and honor to you would be magnified, Father. And again, we just ask these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. I had to kind of revamp there a little bit because I thought, yeah, that's right. We're not really doing a meet and greet kind of time. So we'll just press on here into our time in the Word, and then, like I said, afterwards, by all means, we'd love for you to, you know, be able to talk and say hi to each other, and we'll exit out of here. And looks like the weather's changing for us a little bit. Praise God for that. Well, this morning, like I said, if you've been tuning in to us online, then the last 2 weeks, you know that we started a new series. Before we go on to a new book of the Bible, we had finished up 2 Peter. And I've been wanting to do a study on evangelism And so we had our first two messages on evangelism. The first one centered around God's heart for people. And then the second message centered on God's heart for His Son. And these both really speak to motivations of evangelism, because if we don't have the proper motivation, if the motivation isn't there, the evangelism, it's just not going to happen. It's just not going to be coming out of us if we don't have that. But I thought we would just take a break here as we come together, just to do something slightly different, because I think this is a momentous occasion for us as a church. And of course, we see throughout the Scripture, when there were these momentous occasions, they were often marked by doing memorials. You know, they literally would set up, you know, stones or make an altar kind of thing to remind and to remember some of the good things that the Lord has done in the people's lives. And I think this is one of those mornings. This is one of those days where, even with the unrest and the craziness that is going on in different parts of our country, we also need to be incredibly thankful to the Lord in what He has brought us through. Not that anything is necessarily over per se, but to get us to this point here today where we can all come back together as a church family, a church body. I'm going to just share with you a story here. You'll recognize this this story. At the beginning of the book of Exodus, the Israelites are basically right where we left them in Genesis. They're hanging out in Egypt and they're multiplying, right? But then a new Pharaoh comes into power and he starts to enslave the Israelites that are there. And he orders that all Egyptians must actually help to kill all male Israelite babies, so that this booming population they're able to control it. You think, wow, talk about a morally fraught order there. One baby boy, though, of course, by the name of Moses, survives because his mother puts him where? Where does she put him? In a basket, right? And goes into the River Nile. And he floats on down until he's picked up by, here, we can do a little interaction here. Who's he picked up by? Pharaoh's daughter. I heard it out there. Pharaoh's daughter, exactly. And Moses then grows up as an Egyptian prince. But then, things kind of take a turn when he kills an Egyptian overseer, when he sees the man beating an Israelite, one of Moses' own kin. And so you kind of go, yep, there's some drama a-brewing here. So Moses heads out of town because of what he did, and he finds himself out in the wilderness. And eventually he has this remarkable encounter with God, who appears to him out of a, what? The burning bush, right? A bush that's engulfed in flames, but it's not burning up. And this was before things like that would have even been considered in our postmodern, hipster, cool world as being cool. But God's message here is that Moses and his brother Aaron must go to Egypt to free the Israelites. And so Moses and Aaron ask Pharaoh really nicely if he will set the slaves free. But God makes Pharaoh give the brothers a big fat, you know, get lost deal. God then rains down, what does He bring upon them? Plagues. How many? 10. Good, Henry. Way to go. He brings down these 10 plagues, right? Bloodies the water. There's lice, flies, livestock get diseases and die, boils, hail, locusts. And then that impenetrable darkness. And then to top it off, God finally slays each Egyptian firstborn. Talk about a show of force. Pharaoh lets the Israelites go, but then he changes his mind. What can we say? He's a fickle guy. The Egyptians pursue the fleeing Israelites to as far as what body of water? The Red Sea, right? Absolutely. And then it's there that God and Moses, well, God using Moses, it's God's power. What's He do, Henry? Just what he said. That's exactly it.
The Red Sea parts, the Israelites get through on dry ground, as Henry said, showing the great awesomeness of God, because what good would it be if they're trying to get through this mud and muck and mire, right? The wind dries it, blows up the waves, they get through, and then the Egyptians start going through, and what's he do then, Henry? Whoosh, water comes back and destroys them all. So the point of this story that you all know is when you think about it, and that's just a small chunk of Israel's history where, frankly, things were tough. Things were not going so well for them. Yeah, they had some pretty good time there in the land of Goshen when Joseph was still around, right? But then new Pharaoh comes into play and people start dying and things change. And things become extremely difficult. Even, right, you know, possible losing of lives, total peril, and then they get across, and the water crushes the Egyptians, and it's like the people just go, what do they do next? What is the, no, what's the very first thing they do? What's that? Memorial? Okay, well here, let's look really quick. Exodus 14. Exodus 14, we're going to see the first thing the people do. Yeah, it's not long until they start complaining, right? But this is kind of cool. Exodus 14, verse 30. Exodus 14, verse 30 says, they just have now gotten back on their side, and it says, thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. And when Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in His servant Moses. Then chapter 15, verse 1, and then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord. If you even skip down ahead, it says at the end of it, then it gives you the song. I was going to read some parts. We're going to press on. And they sing this song of praise and of thanksgiving to God. And they acknowledge some of the difficulties that they had. And then at the end, in chapter 15, verse 20, it says, Miriam the prophetess, that's Aaron's sister, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dancing. And Miriam answered them, sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. The horse and the rider He has hurled into the sea. They just paused, and they praised God, didn't they? And they gave God glory. And they thanked Him, and they sang to Him, and they danced to Him. Well, we're not going to have dancing today. You can do that on your own. Okay, that's all good and fine. But we want to give glory to God. We want to just take the morning and say, Lord, thank You. Praise You. Thank You for bringing us through what You have brought us through. And so in this passage, friends, we see so clearly how it is that God took care of His people during a great time of distress. And in the case of the Israelites, slavery, plagues, being hotly pursued by an enemy until they're finally free. They're finally safe. They're even vindicated. And what do? They stop. They give thanks and worship to God, recounting their deliverance. Noah and his family. When we get to the ark, right? Or back at the ark. Noah and his family did the same thing when they were delivered through everything. They came out and the first thing they did was he built an altar and offered sacrifice. They thanked God and they praised God. And this is, again, what this morning is all about, folks. Thankfulness for all that God has brought us through in the last few months and bringing us to this point where we can come together and reunite in person and be together yet again and worship Him and praise Him and just give Him the glory that He deserves. And again, this is not to say that the whole COVID-19 pandemic is finished and done. Maybe not any more than the Israelites were done dealing with trials and tribulations in their Exodus, right? Because then they would go on over the next 40 years and have some issues and troubles and trials and problems.
as they wandered around in the desert and lived in tents and feared people of the land that they were to go in and conquer. And okay, we're not necessarily out of the woods yet. The virus is still alive and well in places. People are, they're still getting sick and some are dying. And yes, this will continue for some time. We still don't have a vaccine. We'll be lucky if we have one by the end of the year. Our economy is still, you know, not doing all that great, but it should hopefully start to change. There are still people struggling with job and business loss and with financial challenges, and the whole pandemic has, as you've seen and witnessed, become very politicized, which has made things even more difficult. And all this being said, as far as some activities, businesses and churches being allowed to reopen, again, it just seems like an appropriate time to just pause and take stock of our situation and how God has been so very good to us. Give Him the glory that He deserves. And that's what, again, we want to do here this morning. And I came across a psalm this last week. I've mentioned on my messages and my video things and whatnot that I've been reading through the Psalms. And this is from Psalm 138. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. And by the way, if you need a Bible, we have Bibles over there. Somebody would be happy to get you one. Psalm 138. I just thought we could go through this short but sweet psalm and just see how we too might give God the glory that He deserves. This is a psalm of David. And David is a man who had many trials in his life, dangerous encounters with lions and bears that he was up against as a shepherd. He, of course, faced off against a tremendously formidable foe in the form of Goliath. He was on the run from his best friend's dad, King Saul, right, who was trying to kill him because he was so jealous of David. And then even his own flesh and blood turns against him later on in life. His son's trying to usurp his authority and position. And yet, as we often see throughout the Psalms, he is still a man after God's own, what? Heart. The Sunday school class was talking about David this morning. He is a man after God's own heart. He's a man who continues to trust in the sovereignty of God. The fact that God is the one who is in control and always has His best interests at heart. And throughout his life, he always comes back to giving God thanksgiving and praise and worship and exaltation. And David is great about taking stock of his circumstances and his trials and seeing how God has guided him through it. And that's what the psalm is about. Follow along as I read. Psalm 138, a psalm of David. David says, "I will give thanks with all my heart. I will sing praises to you before the gods. I will bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word according to all your name. And on the day I called you, you answered me. You made me bold with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth will give thanks to you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth. And they will sing of the ways of the Lord, for the great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is exalted, yet He regards the lowly, but the haughty He knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, You will revive me. You will stretch forth Your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and Your right hand will save me. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Your loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. Do not forsake the works of Your hands." And going back into the psalm, we see four facets of thanksgiving that, like David, you and I need to be putting into practice so that God does get the maximum amount of glory and you and I, frankly, get the maximum amount of joy in our lives for offering God this thanksgiving. And what we see first in the first couple of verses is acts of thanksgiving. Acts of thanksgiving, right? Speaking to God directly, David again says, "I will give thanks with all my," what? Heart. Yeah. Full-fledged
volitional, whole heart thanksgiving. It's not kind of, you know, well, yeah, I'm going to give you some thanksgiving, but, or it's kind of a, you know, a half-baked or half-hearted form of thanksgiving. It's from the depth of David's soul. And then he says, I will sing praises to you before the gods. Now, David's not acknowledging that there are some kind of literal, real gods along with the one true living God that he worships. Rather, he's referring to the made-up gods of the Canaanites that surrounded Israel. And of course, David was a musician, he was a singer, and so he quite literally means to sing his praises. Oh, sing his praises. That's what we've been doing. You know what? We're going to do that right now. We got one more song. You don't have to stand up. You can just sing right there and there. Let's sing God's praises, all right? This is a song called Be Exalted. Be Exalted, O God. We got on there. Oh, yay. I just got to pull it out here. Let's just stop and sing God's praises. Hit it, Lily. It's just good to stop and sing at any point. I don't know if you do that during the day, but sometimes I'll just be doing whatever. I might be out running on the treadmill or running out in the woods or whatever, and you just kind of start singing. I've often shared that story when Dee Potter first took me out on the horses to get a glimpse of the Trinity Alps, and he brought along even song sheets for us, and we sat there on horseback, muleback, and just sang. It's good to do. It's good to find those times to just sing. That's what David did. Well, we see another act of David's thanksgiving in verse 2, where he pledges to bow down toward your holy temple. Where would the holy temple be? Jerusalem, right? Bowing down demonstrates what? Humility. This is interesting because it's from one king to another. David, being an earthly king, right, is bowing down, though, to God the king. And I was thinking about this. You don't too often see a king bowing to another king, do you? But see, David understands God to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and far above any earthly king. And then lastly, in verse 2, he says, and give thanks to your name. And this is David thanking God. Thanking God for His holy character and for His sovereignty here being in view. Some other names of God that David would have given thanks to Him for are, of course, Yahweh. Which, when you go back to that, it just literally means to be. It's when the Lord said, I am, right? That is Yahweh. He would have understood Him as Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, or Adonai, which means Lord, or Elohim, which was a reference to Israel's God, or El Shaddai, which is God Almighty. Now, friends, what are the ways in which you and I offer thanksgivings to God? And yes, we've been doing them here this morning through corporate prayer, through song, through the reading of the Word. And these are wonderful ways to thank God. And I hope that you're in the habit of doing these things even outside of church. And that when, you know, just some reason comes to you for thanking God that you do so. And some of you may call out your thanks to Him in a literal fashion. You find yourself, oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, praise God. Thank you. Some of you maybe drop to your knees and put your head on the ground to offer Him thanksgiving. We pray and offer Him thanksgiving. Some of you might sing or tell God your thanksgivings. Some of you might look up to the heavens as you thank Him. The important thing here is that whatever ways in which you offer your thanksgivings to God, we do them humbly and we do so with our whole hearts. Well, we also see some reasons for David's acts of thanksgiving, and this is in verses 2 and 3. He gives us a few reasons. One is, he says in the second part of verse 2, your loving kindness. Now, why is it that God is loving and kind to David? Well, David is God's creation, like all of you are. God made him. He formed him out of his mother's womb, just as He did you and I. God loves His creation. David also is a man after God's own heart. And yet, he didn't love God first, right? Because 1 John 4:19 was just as true back then in the Old Testament as it is now. We love because He what? First loved us. His kindness is an extension of His love. God is intrinsically kind. It is an attribute and a characteristic that is generally true of God. And we know this because God blesses the just and the unjust, doesn't He? Believer and unbeliever alike receive God's blessings, whether it's through the rain that we've recently had, or sun, or food, or drink. And yet God imparts a loving kindness to some like David, like you and I, that goes beyond generalities and brings to us who believe in God things like salvation and sanctification and glorification. His loving kindness promises us the new heavens and the new earth, and living with God and His Son Jesus for all eternity. Well, He also gives us truth. David says next, another reason for his thanksgiving is because of God's truth, which is also translated as faithfulness. As the God of truth, He is also the God of faithfulness. His truth tells us of His faithfulness. In Psalm 119 and 160, the psalmist says back to God, the sum of your word is, say it, truth. And every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. And this feeds into the next of David's reasons for thankfulness. He says, for you have magnified your word according to all your name. And this speaks of the further promises of God which show up as His written revelation, the scriptures, the Bible, right? These are His promises that have been magnified. The scriptures reveal God's loving kindness and His faithfulness in carrying out His promises. And then he says, on the day I called you, you answered me. Now, I mean, let's be honest. Nobody likes to get stood up, right? When we call, then we hope or appreciate, expect an answer. I think especially kids asking something of a parent, Owen will ask me over and over and over and over and over and will keep asking me if I don't provide him some kind of an answer to whatever it is he is wanting to know. And the truth is, God always will give an answer to those who are His children when we call upon Him. Of course, it might be yes, might be no, might be maybe, wait, right? Could be. It might not. I know Ed and Elaine Brown feel that way right now with Ed coming through the surgery. I talked to him yesterday on the phone and he just sounded great. He already was saying how much better he feels from having this valve replacement in his heart. So, lastly, another reason for David's thankfulness. He says, you made me bold with strength in my soul. And of course, no better example of boldness and strengthening of soul could be than David experienced himself when he went up against who? Goliath, right? And God made him bold and strengthened his soul. The psalmist writes in 28:7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him and I am helped. Therefore my heart exults and with my song I shall thank Him." Or Psalm 46:1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." So let me ask you, think back over the last couple of months. How have you witnessed God's loving kindness, truth, or faithfulness, His Word magnified, His answer when you've called, or boldness and strength when you felt you had none during this whole pandemic time? And you know, I have my own personal experiences with this, and you'll have yours. But maybe we can be thankful even this morning, just corporately, as God's church gathered here this morning. For instance, pertaining to this church, we're thankful to God for allowing and helping us to step up our technical game. Right? That when all of this happened, we had just actually started, and I've already shared this, but Garth here was he said, "Hey, you know, I have to go do some of my teaching, and you guys do anything online?" And we're like, "Oh yeah, we've thought about that, we've talked about it, we just kind of never got it going, you know?" Well, we got it going, and guess what happened? Bam, then the pandemic hits. And I got to tell you, I'm personally thankful, and we try to do this every now and again, just kind of, you know, point some folks out that have done some different aspects of service. But in that time, you know, we were blessed that my family was able to jump on board. Austin and Julie, who couldn't be here this morning, and Lily playing and doing the technical stuff. Gianna there watches over Owen so that we can do all these things every Sunday morning. And then, of course, Riley steps up into the plate and just does so much in terms of putting all this technical stuff together. This isn't anything I could have ever done. In the meantime, we still had people that were showing up to when we had the food delivery stuff that were able to come out and deliver food. I know Earl was out there doing that, and the Brownleys were doing that. We've had Earl and Bev out there pulling weeds for I don't know how many weeks, and some others do that as well, and Jed keeping things clean and tidy and ready to go for this morning, and Andy and all of our elders and deacons jumping in and meeting constantly to assess and talk about these things. And I stand back and I just praise God. I am so thankful for all of these folks that have been able to do these things in the in-between time and make it happen. And of course, there's been just the church, as I've said many times, has remained just faithful in their giving and their tithes and their offerings, you know, because that has been a struggle for some churches in this time. And there have been a lot of people and communities hit financially hard, and the fact that that it just seemed like we didn't miss a beat here, and people just remained faithful, and praise God for all of this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You know, when all of this began and the stay-at-home order was announced, of course, there was tremendous fear. Tremendous fear across the land, fear of the virus and what the virus had done, what it was doing, what it could potentially do. We've all at different times, I think in these last few months, cried out to God for help or asked Him for answers or sought encouragement from Him. We've cried out to Him for healing and for safety, and we've cried out to Him for patience and understanding. We've cried out to Him for guidance and direction and discernment. And it sure seems more often than not that God has heard, that God has acted, emboldened us, and strengthened us. I thank God for what He even, you know, caused to happen with all of our, you know, state and county folks. You know, churches were supposed to be in phase three, and phase three could have been months down the line still. And praise God that things happened and such, and even governor helping to move up that timeline, and then our county folks helping that to happen as well. We are thankful to see the church mobilized, whether through something like Samaritan's Purse and Franklin Graham setting up the field hospital in Central Park. Oh man, did they take some heat for that or what? But they did it, and they did it well, and they did it to God's glory, and there were no nothing that anyone could say after the fact about that happening that was not to the glory of God and just a huge, you know, help to people and even local churches. I know between myself and some of the other local pastors, we were all on the horn right off the bat, calling up our different county agencies. What can we do to help? What can we do to help? What can we do to help? Well, the virus didn't hit Trinity County in the way that it did other places. And so in one sense, there wasn't a lot of extra things that had to be done. But Jeff from the food bank called up a bunch of the churches and we all jumped in and helped out. And then we received all those boxes of food that then you guys helped distribute and get out to people. And so we saw these things happen as well, to His glory. And as the weeks wore on, we saw things get politicized, and often in a very ugly way, as our country and states started experiencing a certain kind of division. Many different people have had different ideas about how to reopen, and this led church leaders to start considering when it would be appropriate, even if we needed is it appropriate to submit to the governing authorities, of course, and would we find ourselves in a place where we felt like the church is being asked to sin against God and we would have to obey God rather than men? And again, God very clearly and graciously answered First Baptist Church Weaverville by getting us to this place today, right here, right now, where we can all meet again, albeit safely and with our different modifications in place, but in conjunction with our state and county authorities. This is huge. And lastly, friends, we can certainly be thankful, as I mentioned just a minute ago, just for the lack of cases in Trinity County, which includes our church family, and certainly we should pray that that would continue. And again, there are just so many other reasons my family and I have to be thankful during this time, and I'm sure you have those reasons as well. And we just need to find time to make sure we give God thanksgiving. We also see from David in this psalm what we're calling extensions of thanksgiving. And this is in verses 4 to 6. This is where he says, "All the kings of the earth will give thanks to you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth, and they will sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord." You go,